Legend of Yufei, Chapter 14.
Lord Zong, this respected general, he's riding completely alone.
Just him.
Charging straight into the camp of Wang Shan, the bandit leader. And the text says he was totally prepared to die.
Which seems likely. I mean, charging alone into a bandit camp.
You'd expect him to be, well, the text uses the phrase, turned into a pincushion, right?
Right.
Riddled with arrows instantly.
Pretty graphic, yeah. You'd think so. So how does he survive that initial charge? Against, you know, impossible odds.
That's the twist, isn't it?
It is. The source is very clear. Wang Shan, the bandit chief, had given a very specific command.
Which was?
Capture him alive. That one order. That's the only reason he isn't killed on the spot.
Well, just one command.
But even so, I mean, his situation is still dire. The bandits are described as surrounding him, like, layer upon layer.
So tight, not even water could pass. That's the description.
Exactly. But so you're left thinking, okay, he's alive for now, but how on earth does he escape this?
Yeah, escape seems impossible.
And the insight there is, well, even when things look absolutely hopeless, sometimes a single unexpected factor, like that order, can just change the immediate outcome. Fate, you know.
Definitely. So, okay, we've got Lord Zong alone facing these overwhelming odds. Let's switch tracks now, because the source does.
Right, it shifts over to Zaofeng Town.
Yeah, to Yufei and his group. A totally different dynamic starting up. What's happening there?
Well, it starts pretty normally. Wang Yi, one of the companions, he's been sick apparently, he asks for tea.
Okay.
So Yufei sends another companion, Tang Huai, to go get it. Tang Huai heads out, tries to find the innkeepers, but no one's around.
Bit strange.
Yeah. So he decides, all right, I'll just make the tea myself. He gets the stove going, fans it, waits for the water to boil. Pretty mundane stuff. But then, just as he's about to head back with the tea, the innkeeper and a waiter burst in.
Yeah.
And they look completely panicked.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
This is where it shifts. The innkeeper spills. The Bean's major bandits from Taihang Mountain are making a move. They're heading for the capital.
The capital itself, that's big.
Huge. And here's the crucial part for the local people. The innkeeper's terrified that if the Imperial Army beats the bandits, the retreating bandits will just turn on the local towns and villages. Looting, rampaging, the usual.
Oh, right. Caught in the middle.
Exactly. So the townspeople are packing up, planning to flee to the countryside for safety, and they warn Yufei's group, hey, you should probably get out too.
It really shows that constant fear the ordinary people lived with, doesn't it? Stuck between these warring groups.
Absolutely. Palpable fear.
So how does Tang Wai take this really dire news?
It's kind of funny, actually. He just sort of shrugs it off. He says, basically, if those bandits knew we were here, they wouldn't dare show their faces.
Seriously? That's quite confident.
A bit arrogant, maybe. He even jokes they'd probably bring them gifts, tribute, travel money.
Wow. Okay. And the waiter.
The waiter is just aghast. He calls it a thunderous event and thinks Tang Huai is just talking nonsense, powerless idle talk.
A bit of dark humor before things get serious, perhaps.
Maybe. Then Tang Huai just takes the tea back to Wang Yi, tells him the story.
And Yufei's reaction.
Yufei hears this and immediately calls the innkeeper back in. He needs to verify it. Is this real, he asks, or just some rumor?
Sensible. Checking the facts.
Mm-hmm. The innkeeper insists, no, it's 1,000 times true. He even knows the court has already sent troops out.
Okay, so it's confirmed. What does Yufei do then?
He just calmly tells the innkeeper, all right, prepare a meal for us quickly.
A meal? Now?
Yeah. The innkeeper naturally thinks, oh, okay, they're going to eat and then leave, head home. So he rushes off to cook.
But Yufei's got something else brewing, right?
Totally different plan. He turns to his sworn brothers. And he tells them his deduction.
Which is?
He says, the imperial official leading these troops, it must be our teacher, Master Zong.
How does he know that? Or why does he think that? Tang Huai asks him.
Right. Yeah. Tang Huai asks why. And Yufei's explanation is, well, it's pretty insightful about the politics of the time.
What does he say?
He says the court is just full of, you know, treacherous officials, self-serving guys who are scared to actually fight.
Yeah.
Only Master Zong, he says, is truly loyal, truly dedicated to the country. So if troops are being sent, it has to be him leading them.
That's impressive reasoning, based purely on character assessment, pretty much.
It tells you a lot about Yufei, doesn't it? It's not just about being brave. He's strategically sharp. He understands the people involved, the political games. And he has this deep trust in his mentor.
So he's not just reacting to the news, he's analyzing it.
Exactly. He's deducing.
Yeah.
So he lays out the plan.
Right. What's the plan?
He says, okay, Nugo, you stay here. Look after Wang Yi. Me, Tong Huai, and Zhang Xian will ride out and check.
Investigate.
Yeah. If it is Master Zong, great, we'll help him out. If it's not,
right.
Well, we can just come back. No big deal.
And how do the others react?
Tong Huai and Zhang Xian, they're totally up for it. Thrilled, even.
But Nugao, he was told to stay behind.
Nugao protests loudly. He's like, wait, Wang Yi's fine now. Why do I have to stay? I want to go too.
Classic Nugao. Wants to be in the action.
Always. But this is where you see Yufei's leadership again. His sense of responsibility.
What does he say?
He tells Nugao, look, even if Wang Yi's feeling better, we can't just ditch him. It's not right.
Stick together.
And he tries to reassure him, saying, hey, by helping our teacher, it's the same as if you were there yourself. It's for the same cause.
Does that work?
Nugao starts to argue again, but then something happens.
Oh.
Wang Yi, who's supposed to be sick, secretly pinches Nugao's leg under the table.
A pinch? What does that mean?
Well, Nugao immediately stops arguing. He just suddenly says, ah, whatever. What's the difference? Fine. Don't let me go then. Total change of tune.
Huh. That little pinch is doing a lot of work there.
Yeah.
Very intriguing. What's going on?
It's a key moment, isn't it? It hints at something unspoken happening within the group.
Definitely. So the meal arrives.
Right. The waiter brings the food. And Wang Yi, who supposedly hasn't been eating because he's sick, and Niu Gao, who's now sulking, they both refuse to eat.
While the others.
Yufei, Tong Huai, and Zhang Xian, they eat quickly, get their armor on, grab their weapons, and ride out. Off they go.
Leaving Wang Yi and Niu Gao behind.
Yep. And it's only after the others are gone that Niu Gao finally asks Wang Yi, okay, what was that pinch about? Why'd you stop me?
And here comes the reveal.
This is it. Wang Yi basically calls Niu Gao a fool. He says, look, if elder brother Yufei says you're not going, arguing is pointless. He's made up his mind.
Okay, practical advice, but there's more, right?
Oh, yeah. Then Wang Yi drops the bombshell. He confesses the real reason he was sick. He admits he was upset, frustrated, really, because he didn't get to kill anyone in their last fight.
He was illness because he missed out on combat. Wow.
Exactly. And now, he says, with these Taihang Mountain bandits attacking the capital, that's where the real action is going to be.
I see where this is going.
Wang Yi tells Niu Gao the pinch was a signal. Let Yufei and the others go on ahead. Right. And they'll follow right behind them, secretly. Without Yufei knowing.
Whoa. Okay, that changes things entirely. That completely reframes Wang Yi's earlier behavior.
It really does. What does that tell you? Just to get into a better position for battle?
It says a lot about the pressure. Maybe the mindset of these warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, inaction was worse than actual illness for him.
That's a fascinating insight, isn't it? His illness was this deep psychological hunger for action. Like, the lack of fighting was making him genuinely unwell in a way.
And battle was the cure.
He literally calls it a great tonic for his recovery. He says he needs to go fight, kill bandits to his heart's content. That's what will make him better.
Incredible. And Niu Gao's reaction?
Niu Gao is instantly on board now. He gets it, claps his hands. Yes, let's go. We should go.
Mm.
All sulking forgotten.
Action Niu Gao is back.
Instantly. So they quickly wolf down their food, get armored up, leave their luggage with the probably very confused innkeeper.
Promising to come back after the bandits are beaten.
Right. And then they mount up and ride off too, heading for Nanxin Gate, just like the others, but secretly.
Yufei, he's with Tang Huai and Zhang Xian, and they're arriving at this place called Mutuo Hill.
Okay.
And they look up. Right away, they spot the banner. It belongs to Yufei's mentor, the respected General Zhang Ze.
But then something's wrong.
Instantly. Yufei sees it. It's quite striking, actually, how fast his military mind kicks in.
What does he notice?
He basically says, well, hold on. My benefactor knows tactics. Why would he set up camp on a hill? He calls it an inauspicious omen.
A hill sounds like a good spot, maybe. High ground.
You'd think so sometimes, but Yufei immediately sees the trap. Being on a hill like that cuts you off. Your water, your food supply. You're exposed. Easy to surround.
Ah, okay. So it's a major vulnerability.
A huge one. And it shows Yufei's genius, right?
Yeah.
He's not just seeing the immediate problem, he's thinking steps ahead, like the domino effect of that one bad decision, even from his own mentor.
That's a key insight. Okay, so they see this. What happens next?
Well, they head up the hill anyway, and they meet Zhang Feng, who is Zhang Zi's son.
He must know what's going on.
He does, and it's bad. The guy's in tears. He tells them the just shocking truth. These treacherous officials, the Dorse back at court, They refused to send back up. No reinforcements.
What? They just abandoned him.
Completely. And that forced Zhang Zi, the general, into this almost suicidal move, a solo charge right into the enemy camp. It was like a final act of defiance, you know, loyalty to a court that basically stabbed him in the back.
Wow. That changes everything.
It really does. You realize this isn't just about fighting bandits. It's like a two-front war. There's the enemy outside, yeah, but there's also this betrayal from within their own side.
That raises the stakes incredibly high. His mentor, a loyal general, just hung out to dry.
Adds a whole layer of moral weight to the whole rescue mission.
So, faced with all this, the bad camp location, the betrayal, the impossible odds, what does Yufei decide?
His decision is, well, immediate, crystal clear. He tells Zongfang, basically, okay, get ready to reinforce us. Me and my brothers are going down there. We're breaking into that camp and we're rescuing our benefactor.
Just like that, straight in.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But he adds something really important. He says their goal isn't just to kill every single bandit.
Right, you mentioned that. What was the specific goal again?
He says, capture the bandit leader, rescue our benefactor to fulfill our long-cherished ambition. It's very focused.
That is specific. Why not just, you know, cause maximum chaos?
Well, that's the strategic mind again, isn't it? It's about precision, not just brute force.
Okay.
Go for the leader, you cut off the head of the snake, right? It's efficient. But it's also psychological. Take out the command, and the whole enemy force starts to unravel. Morale collapses much faster than trying to fight everyone.
Makes sense. A decapitation strike, basically.
But exactly.
Surgical.
And the plan itself, how are they going to do it? It's a coordinated attack. He lays it out. Tang Huai charges from the left. Zhang Jian hits them from the right. And Yufei, straight down the middle.
A three-pronged attack.
Classic pincer, yeah. But aimed at rescuing Zhang Zi. He even adds a little competitive touch, like whoever sees the benefactor first gets top honors.
Haha. Even in a deadly situation.
Keeps the energy up, I guess. It shows they're applying, you know, solid military tactics to this incredibly specific high-stakes problem.
Okay, now this is where the descriptions get really vivid, right? The text just paints these amazing pictures.
Oh, yeah. It really comes alive here. Let's start with Tang Huai, hitting from the left.
What's his description like?
He's got this silver spear, and the text says it's like a venomous dragon emerging from the sea. And a fierce tiger leaving the mountain. You just feel this raw, unstoppable power in his charge. The bandits just don't stand a chance.
It's like he's a force of nature.
Exactly. The descriptions aren't just fancy words. They're meant to convey that immediate terror and awe these guys inspired.
Okay, what about Zhang Xian on the right?
He's got a different weapon, a hook and chain spear, and his movement, like a great rock spreading its wings.
A giant mythical bird.
Yeah, and a lion shaking its head. The text says he causes total chaos. Horses flip, people fall, gods howl, ghosts weep.
Gods howl, ghosts weep. That's intense.
It tells you everything about the impact he's having, right? It elevates them, makes them seem almost superhuman, figures of legend, really.
And then there's Yufei himself in the center.
Yufei. He's depicted as this gleaming figure. Silver helmet, chainmail, everything all white, all silver.
Like a shining knight.
Pretty much.
Right.
His horse, a silver mane horse, is compared to a white dragon. His spear, the famous Li Quan spear, moves like wind-dancing pear blossoms. Beautiful, but deadly.
So elegant and powerful at the same time.
Exactly. The text calls the horse like a sky-lifting lion, and Yufei himself like an earth-standing Vedra.
A Vedra, like the deity.
Yeah, a powerful, indestructible guardian figure in Buddhism. It emphasizes his strength, his presence. Basically, wherever he and his horse go, enemies just drop dead instantly.
Just unstoppable.
And there's even that short poem included right there in the text, isn't there?
Oh, right. Read that bit again. It really sets the scene.
Okay, it goes. Slaying the strong, entering the formation to save the loyal and good. Enemy generals facing him all perish. Success not yet on Ling Yin Pavilion. That's like the Hall of Fame for generals. But Marquis Yu's fame still fragrant today.
So even then, the story is saying, this guy is destined for greatness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It cements his status, his purpose, protecting the good guys. It's foreshadowing his legend.
So as he's charging in this shining force, what does he do?
He lets out this massive shout, just cuts right through the noise of the battle. Yufei has come.
Chills. What effect does that have?
Think about it. For Zhang Zi, trapped in there, probably thinking it's over, hearing that name, it's like a miracle, a beacon of hope.
And for the bandits.
Pure terror, probably. This guy's reputation was already known. It's like the bogeyman just showed up. That single shout completely shifts the mood of the fight.
So, Zongzi, what was his situation like just before this?
Desperate. Utterly desperate. Surrounded by bandits, they're yelling at him to surrender. He's fighting, but he's exhausted, out of breath.
Just holding on.
Barely. And then he hears it. Not from Yuffei first, but from the bandits themselves. They start yelling, "The Yuffei who single-handedly defeated Little Prince Liang has charged in."
They knew who beat Little Prince Liang. His reputation preceded him.
Big time. Zongzi hears this, and at first he thinks he must be dreaming or hearing things, but then he hears Yuffei's actual roar, sees him charging in.
That must have been just pure shock and relief.
Oh, absolutely. Imagine that feeling, fighting for your life, totally abandoned, and then boom, the one person who could possibly save you appears. It shows that deep bond between them.
And then they unite.
Right away, Yuffei gets to him, actually apologizes for being late.
Apologizes.
Yeah. Then Tang Wai and Zhang Xian arrive, and the four of them are together, fighting side by side. The text says they cut through the enemies, like cutting melons and vegetables, just slicing through
A
them.
united front. Incredible. But the fight's not over yet, right?
Not quite, because just when you think things can't get any wilder, reinforcements arrive.
More heroes.
Yep, Niu Gao and Wang Gui. And they are rushing to get there. The funny thing is, they're actually worried the others might finish off all the bandits before they get a piece of the action.
Huh. Seriously, they're worried about missing the fight.
Totally. They're practically racing each other. The text has these great lines about their motivation. Wang Gui wants to eat 2 doses of tonic medicine, and Niu Gao wants to stir his appetite.
Fighting as medicine and appetite stimulant.
Exactly. Great metaphors for just how eager they are to get stuck in. They don't want to miss the glory, you know? Adds a very human, almost funny touch to these epic heroes.
What are these two like in battle?
Also incredibly fierce with their own styles. Niu Gao rides this big black horse, and he uses double iron maces. He's described as Swanton Reborn.
Another powerful deity.
Yeah. And Wang Gui, he's on a red horse, uses a
Right on.
great saber, and he's depicted as Guan Di descended.
Guan Di, like Guan Yu, the god of war.
That's the one. So again, comparing them to these revered, powerful figures, it just underlines their ferocity.
And their impact.
Immediate. Devastating. The two of them together are just a whirlwind. The text says person meets person falls, horse meets horse injured. They just tear through the bandit ranks.
Okay, so now the heroes are all there, cutting down bandits left and right. What about the bandit leader, Wang Shan?
Right, Wang Shan. He hears the reports. His forces are getting absolutely decimated. So he decides he has to step in himself.
The big boss enters the fight.
Yep. He storms out, furious, ready to take on whoever's causing all this trouble.
That seems risky, though, for the leader to jump in like that.
It is risky. And it probably tells you something about him, right? Maybe arrogance, believing he's invincible, or just pure desperation, seeing his army collapse. He's rolling the dice, betting he can turn it around personally.
And who meets him?
Wang Yi spots him immediately, and he remembers that key bit of advice from Yuffei.
The capture the king strategy.
Exactly. Big Brother always says, shoot the rider first, capture the king first. So Wang Yi doesn't hesitate. He charges straight for Wang Shan.
Okay, showdown time.
But it happens fast. As Wang Yi charges, Niu Gao, remember him, the guy with the maces,
Yeah, the one who wanted to stir his appetite.
he lets out this massive shout. The text describes it like a clap of thunder in midair.
Just a shout.
Just a shout. But it's so sudden, so loud, it startles Wang Shan. For just a split second, he loosens his grip on his big golden saber.
And that's the opening.
That's the opening Wang Yi needs. He strikes instantly, a swift, fatal blow right shoulder to back. Wang Shan goes down.
Wow, teamwork, even the takedown. Niu Gao's shout set it up.
Perfectly. A psychological assist, creating the physical opportunity. It's a great example of how they work together, even if it looked like Wang Yi's kill.
So Wang Yi gets the kill
Yeah.
and the loot.
Oh, yeah. He takes Wang Shan's head as a trophy, naturally. And he grabs that valuable golden saber, swapping it for his own weapon. Nice upgrade.
And Niu Gao's reaction to this, he helped.
Oh, Niu Gao is furious. Absolutely hilarious. He's mad that Wang Yi got the big kill. He basically yells that he needs to find his own bandit leader to kill just to vent his anger.
Poor Niu Gao, competitive spirit right to the end.
Totally. It makes these legendary guys feel so relatable, you know, that little bit of jealousy, wanting his own moment of glory. He just starts charging around wildly with his maces, looking for someone important to smash.
Does he get his chance? Are there other leaders left?
Well, things move quickly. Yuffei himself takes out another bandit general, Deng Cheng. Just one clean spear thrust. Done.
Efficient as ever.
And Yu Gao, still fuming and rampaging, finds Tian Qi, another bandit general. Tian Qi tries to attack with a halberd.
Big mistake.
Huge mistake. Yu Gao just deflects the halberd with one of his iron maces
and
smashes Tian Qi's head with the other one. Decisive. Brutal.
So Yu Gao gets his kill after all. Maybe that calmed him down.
Maybe a little. But the main point is, with Wang Shan, their chief, dead, and Deng Cheng and Tian Qi, key commanders, also gone.
The collapse begins.
Total collapse. It's exactly what Yufei's strategy aimed for. Remove the leadership, and the rest just falls apart. The bandits scatter. Complete rout.
And Zongfeng, the son, up on the hill.
He sees the chaos, sees the bandits breaking. He leads his own forces down the hill to join in, basically mopping up.
So the scale of the victory?
Immense. The text says over 10,000 bandits surrendered. Countless others were killed. Fewer than 1,000 actually managed to escape. It was a crushing defeat for the bandits.
Just incredible. And what happens right after the fighting stops?
Zhang Ziyi takes command immediately. Very organized, he orders the sounding of the gongs to withdraw troops. They gather up all the abandoned stuff, flags, tents, weapons, food, supplies, a huge amount of loot.
Securing the spoils of war.
And managing the aftermath. He sets up a separate camp just for the prisoners, the surrendered soldiers. And he makes plans to formally enter the city the next day. This victory was huge. We're talking Yufei and his four brothers, so five of them in total, doing something really remarkable.
Not just winning a fight, but changing the whole game.
Absolutely. They broke a dangerous encirclement, saved their commander, Zhang Ziyi, who was pretty much trapped.
Okay.
And crucially, they killed the main rebel leader, Wang Shan, plus other key generals like Deng Cheng and Tian Qi.
So they basically took out the entire rebel command?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And the results were, well, concrete. The sources say over 10,000 rebel soldiers surrendered.
10,000? Wow.
And they captured tons of stuff. Chariots, horses, grain, weapons, all the military gear. It was a complete rout. No question about their success.
So Commander Zhang Ziyi sees all this. He owes them his life. He sees the strategic win. What's he thinking? What's the next step?
Well, for Zhang Ziyi, it's a no-brainer. These guys are heroes. They deserve major recognition. Official positions, titles, the works. He immediately decides, right, we're going to the imperial courts. He tells them, you know, expect good news. He's fully confident they'll get rewarded for this great merit.
So the mood must be pretty high as they head to the capital.
You'd imagine so. Relief, triumph, anticipation.
Okay, so they get to the capital. Zhang Ziyi brings them before Emperor Huizong. He lays it all out. The siege broken, his life saved, rebels killed, all the loot captured. A success story.
And Emperor Huizong's reaction initially is just what Zhang Ziyi expected. He's delighted. He tells Zhang Ziyi to rise, calls the five heroes forward. They do the whole prostration, the traditional respects. Everything seems on track.
Seems like it. But then the emperor turns to his officials, specifically this guy Zhang Bangcheng, and asks, okay, what's a suitable reward for these heroes? And here comes the twist.
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting. Zhang Bangcheng steps up, and he starts by saying, sure, okay, for beating the rebels, they should get high office. But
there's always a but.
Right. He brings up this accusation that Yufei killed Prince Liang, had committed crime in the martial arts field.
Story. Exactly. It allows Zhang Bangcheng to argue that their amazing current achievements should just, well, cancel out this supposed past mistake.
Wow.
So the reward he proposes, it's pathetic. The provisional rank of a Changshenlang.
Changshenlang, what kind of rank is that?
The source itself clarifies it. It's basically a minor officer role. Think like a 1,000-man commander, maybe even lower. A probationary posting, barely above a grunt.
Seriously.
Yeah.
After that victory, they get offered like an entry-level admin job.
Pretty much. With a promise of maybe possibly getting promoted later if they do more good stuff. And the emperor, he buys it. He approves this.
He does. The emperor approves the recommendation. The source says Yufei just bows, thanks the emperor, and accepts the decree. Utterly anticlimactic and, frankly, insulting.
I can't even imagine how Zhang Ziyi felt at that moment. He brought them there expecting glory.
Oh, he was furious. But silently furious? The text says he's internally cursing Zhang Bangcheng, calling him a tor, a treacherous villain.
A treacherous villain.
Yeah, and he's lamenting, you know, how people like this, with their jealousy and obstruction, are the reason there's no peace. He sees the injustice, the bigger picture.
But the emperor's word is final. So Zhang Ziyi can't really do anything in court. What does he tell Yufei and the others?
His hands are tied. So he pulls them aside later and advises them, look, just go home for now. He tells them straight up, this is not the time for official careers. Why? Because the court is full of corrupt officials like Zhang.
That's brutally honest.
It is. He expresses real regret, says he wants to keep them, to promote them, but he knows it's politically impossible right now. It actually shows Zongzi's integrity, putting their well-being first.
And Yufei and his brothers, they understand. They accept this.
They do. They show him respect, accept his counsel. They get the political reality, however bitter it must taste, so they prepare to leave.
Zongzi must have hated seeing them go.
Deeply reluctant, the text says. But he's also scared. Scared that if they stay in the capital, these treacherous officials will just cause more trouble for them. So with a heavy heart, he bids them farewell, and they head off from Zafeng Town back towards home, Tangying County.
Right, so they're on the road home. That victory must feel pretty hollow now. What's the mood? What are they saying?
Yeah, the conversation turns pretty quickly to frustration. They're traveling, and they're talking openly about how damn hard it is to get anywhere, to get recognized when you've got people like Song Bangchang pulling the strings.
I bet. It's a direct slap in the face from the system they just fought for.
Exactly. And Yu Gao, you know, he's the impulsive one.
Uh-huh.
He just bursts out saying he wishes they could just go kill those crooked officials like they killed the rebels.
Yeah.
Just pure raw anger.
Understandable, if maybe not the smartest thing to say out loud.
Right. And Yufei, being the leader, immediately tells him, basically, shut up, stop talking nonsense. He knows how dangerous that kind of talk is.
But the frustration is bubbling up.
Oh, yeah. Then Wang Yi jumps in, just as reckless. He says he wishes he'd just dragged Zhang Bangchang down right there in the Golden Hall and beaten him to death.
Whoa. In the emperor's presence.
Yeah. And he tries to justify it, foolishly saying, oh, the punishment probably wouldn't be death, maybe just, you know, getting drafted into the army or something.
Yeah, that sounds incredibly naive. Or just really, really angry.
Both, probably. But then Tang Huai, he's always the practical one. He steps in and corrects Wang Yi. He's like, hold on. Killing someone outside might be a life for a life. But attacking someone in the Emperor's Golden Hall? That's defying the Emperor. That's Qijin. Way more serious. You don't mess around with that.
So Tang Huai brings them back to reality. There are different rules inside the palace walls.
Exactly. It perfectly highlights their powerlessness against that kind of enemy. They can fight rebels, but court politics. Different battlefield entirely.
And this whole frustrating journey, this feeling of unrecognized merit, leads into a poem mentioned in the source, right?
It does, yeah. It sums up their feelings beautifully. Ooh, Tay Si, Shui Si Kya, can you give us the gist of that?
Roughly, it translates to something like, our righteous spirit soars to the heavens, but we lament our wandering, rootless state. When will our great talents finally be put to great use? Who pities Li Guang, who has never made a marquee?
Li Guang, the famous Han Dynasty general, known for being brilliant, but never getting that top title. That's the one. Fought countless battles, incredible skill, but famously never got the rank of marquee.
The Yufei and four companions. We've got Zhang Xian, Niu Gao, Tang Huai. Familiar names.
Right, the core group.
They're on horseback, heading towards Tangying County, just, you know, traveling at a normal pace, talking amongst themselves. Seems like a pretty standard day.
Until it isn't. Suddenly, that calmness is just shattered. They see this group, maybe 10 or so travelers, coming towards them, and they look absolutely panicked, distraught. Stumbling, even.
Yeah, stumbling like they barely got away.
Exactly. And despite their fear, one of them shouts out this warning.
What was it again? Something urgent?
Oh, yeah. You can't go ahead. You should go elsewhere. It's frantic. You immediately know something bad is up ahead.
Okay, so enter Zhang Xian. He's known for being pretty bold.
Very bold. Doesn't hesitate.
He jumps off his horse, grabs one of these poor fleeing people, and basically demands to know what's going on. You can almost picture him impatient.
Yeah, demanding answers now. And the traveler, he's struggling trying to get away, but he manages to explain. Bandits, he says, blocking the road up at Honglu Mountain.
Ah, bandits.
Yeah, and not just a minor nuisance. They apparently stole all their luggage, and these people barely escaped with their lives. It sounds like a serious ambush.
So that sounds like a pretty clear warning. You'd think they'd maybe reconsider.
You would think. But Zhang Xian, he just scoffs. Dismisses it completely.
What does he say?
Something like, just a few petty bandits, no big deal. And then he just lets the guy go. The poor traveler apparently falls down, scrambles back up, and just bolts.
Wow. Okay, so that tells you a lot about Zhang Xian right there. Very dismissive.
All bravado, really. He sees a fight, maybe, but not a real threat to him. It's quite a contrast to Yufei's approach.
Oh, definitely. And then, speaking of contrasts, you have Niu Gao. His reaction is just, perfect new Gao.
He's something else, isn't he?
What does he say?
He's actually excited.
Excited is putting it mildly. He declares, great, another good business opportunity has arrived. A business opportunity in a bandit ambush.
Only new Gao. It certainly keeps things interesting around him. But, you know, it also highlights why Yufei's leadership is so important.
Right, because Yufei isn't cheering.
No, not at all. He immediately steps in, advises caution. Don't be like this. Caution is key, he says. And then, critically, he sends Tang Wai ahead to scout things out.
Smart move. Don't just charge in.
Exactly. It's that strategic thinking, not just eagerness for a fight, that really defines Yufei.
Okay, so based on that caution, the whole group then gets ready. They put on their armor, the text says, preparing for what they might find.
A very sensible precaution before heading into a potential ambush zone.
All right, so Tang Wai rides off as the scout. He goes ahead and reaches this mountain pass. You can imagine the tension building a bit.
Mm-hmm. And sure enough, there he is, the first bandit, sitting on a red sand horse, big saber in hand, blocking the road.
And his demand is pretty straightforward.
Yep. Road toll money. Simple as that. Standard bandit procedure.
But Tang Hui isn't playing along, is he? He's got a clever response.
He does. He says something like, money, sure, just ask my partner. And then he pulls out his spear, described as a rotten silver spear, declares that's his partner.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's pretty bold, setting the tone.
Absolutely. And that, naturally, starts the fight. The bandit attacks. Tang Wai defends with his spear.
And it's a real fight.
Oh, yeah. They go at it for 20 rounds, apparently. A good long exchange. And the text specifically mentions neither gets the upper hand. They're true opponents, evenly matched.
Okay, so Tang Wai is locked in the stalemate. Just then, Yufei and the other three ride up. They see Tang Wai already mid-battle.
And you know Zhang Xian isn't just going to stand there watching.
No way. What does he do?
Grabs his own weapon, a hook spear, and basically shouts, I'm coming too! Jumps right in.
Of course he does. And his joining the fight seems to trigger more action.
Like dominoes falling. As soon as Zhang Xian jumps in, a second bandit appears. This one's in a red battle robe, gold armor, uses a steel spear, and charges down the mountain straight for Zhang Xian.
Okay, so now it's two on two, but wait, Wang Yi is there too?
He's not missing out. Wang Yi raises his gold saber, ready to join.
And does another bandit appear for him?
Immediately. A third one comes down. This one's described quite vividly, face like yellow earth, gold armor, riding a yellow steed. And he's got this really impressive weapon, a three-pronged sky-propping fork. He engages Wang Yi.
Man, this is escalating quickly. So now three companions are fighting. What about New Gao?
You can almost picture him getting antsy.
Yeah.
Right, watching everyone else fight. The text says he gets fiery.
Yeah, I bet.
So he grabs his weapons, twin maces, and charges in too. And wouldn't you know it, a fourth bandit materializes.
Oh my guess. Tailored just for New Gao.
Seems like it. This one's described as blue-faced, fanged, no beard, riding a blue mane horse, and wielding a wolf-tooth mace. Meets New Gao head-on. So suddenly, boom, all four companions are locked in combat.
Okay, so Yufei standing there watching this unfold. Four companions, four bandits, all seemingly evenly matched. He must be thinking, okay, how many more of these guys are there?
Exactly. And seeing his friends all occupied in these tough duels, he realizes he has to step in. He pats his own horse, snowflake mane, getting ready to charge.
Right. Feels like the classic hero's entry into the big battle.
You'd think so. But just as he's about to go, something changes.
What happens?
Lumigling bells suddenly ring out from further up the mountain. A distinct sound, clearly signaling someone else is coming, maybe the leader.
Ah, okay, the boss battle approaches.
Pretty much. And down comes this final figure, clearly the most formidable one yet, wearing a rotten silver helmet, striking white armor, riding a white war horse, and carrying a painted silver halberd.
Impressive entrance. And they go straight for Yufei.
Directly at him. No hesitation. Charges right in.
So they fight.
They do. Yufei parries the attack. They exchange blows, but only for a short time. Like 5 or 6 exchanges, maybe 7 or 8 rounds total. Surprisingly brief, considering who's involved.
Brief? Why so short? Does someone win quickly?
No, that's the thing. The bandit suddenly just stops, halts the fight completely.
Stops mid-combat.
Yep. Creates this really dramatic pause. Yeah. And then the bandit calls out, wait, I have a question.
A question? In the middle of a potentially deadly duel.
I know, right? And Yufei, probably intrigued, agrees to hear it.
Okay, I'm hooked. What's the question?
The bandit says, you look somewhat familiar. Who are you and where are you from? It's this sudden moment of potential recognition right in the heat of battle.
How does Yue Fei respond to that? It's still suspicious, I imagine.
Oh, very blunt. He just says they're scholars from Tengyin County.
Yeah.
On their way back after failing the Marshall exam. And he adds a bit defensively, how could we possibly know you bandits?
Still keeping his cards close to his chest?
Exactly. But then comes the absolute kicker. The moment everything pivots.
Okay.
The bandit asks a very specific question. Are you perhaps Yue Fei who speared Little Liang Wang?
Ah. That specific feat, that famous incident.
Spearing Little Liang Wang was one of Yue Fei's most defining moments.
Yeah.
It's what is named known far and wide. Hmm. It wasn't just a random battle. It became part of his legend.
Wow. So the bandit knows the legend and Yue Fei's response.
Simple. Direct. Indeed. Just owns it.
Okay. So what happens now? The bandit knows who he's fighting.
And this is where you really see the power of reputation in action. The bandit's reaction is instantaneous and, frankly, stunning.
How so?
He immediately gets off his horse, puts down his halberd, and bows deeply, respectfully.
No.
Starts apologizing profusely, saying he didn't recognize him because he was wearing armor.
No way. From Mortal Kombat to bowing in seconds.
Just like that. That one question, that shared knowledge of Yue Fei's famous deed, completely changes everything. His name, his reputation, is more powerful than any weapon in that moment. It literally stops the fight cold.
That's incredible. What does Yue Fei do?
He's gracious, as you'd expect. He also dismounts, helps the bandit up. And naturally, he asks, you know, how did you recognize me?
Good question.
It is. It's this moment of mutual respect suddenly emerging from total chaos.
So, does the bandit explain how he knew?
Not yet. The bandit just says, let me call my brothers, then we'll talk. And the text ends with this really evocative line. A smile and three lives previously agreed, all are people who will meet.
Ooh, cryptic. And then the narrator chimes in.
Yep. The narrator basically says, you know, if you want to know how that person recognized Yue Fei, you'll have to listen to the next chapter for the explanation.
What a perfect place to pause. Absolutely masterful storytelling.
Isn't it? Just fantastic.